This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
It's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free. And you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. And ooh, there's something about the way your sun shines on my face. It's a love so true I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away. It's a beautiful day.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Thank you so much for joining the Sue Freeze Show again today, and I am so grateful to be with you. We have a guest that I've had on before, and I liked him so much that I thought, why not bring him back? So we've brought him back, and the person that I'm talking about is Art Mortel. At one time, I'm just going to give you a little background on him, just so if this is your first time tuning in to him, or even me, thank you for joining. And the show today, this show, Sue Freeze, is about the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And so I go through life and go through my business, and I build my business and resources off relationships, and I connect with people. And so when I have the opportunity of meeting somebody that I think would, that has definitely blessed me, that could bless you, then I invite them onto the show. Because, you know, we all have ups, we all have downs, and I just want to make sure that if there is a way, if there is a light that can be shined, if there's a verse that can turn the choices that we're making to make us better people and to glorify God in the things that we're doing, that maybe we just don't have the knowledge, and maybe this could be the knowledge that you need in order to make the change, the life change that could make such a difference, not only for you and those that you come in direct contact with, but we don't know the domino effect, and we don't know the ripple effect. We don't know how far, how deep, how wide we affect others, but God knows. And so I've brought Art back on because he's touched me in my life and in my spirit life, in my thought life. And so I felt like, why not let him be here with you again? So to give you a little background, he was planning on being a minister, but then began teaching at the Pasadena Nazarene College. And from there, he developed a presentation that he has now given over 4,000 times. That's a lot of times. Around the world, including Australia, the Bahamas, Canada, England, France, Jamaica, Mexico, Singapore, and Spain. He lectured at Pepperdine University in Malibu, as well as more recently as a guest instructor at Cal State Los Angeles in a class entitled The Psychology of Emotions. And we all have those, don't we? And they're there for a reason, aren't they? We don't have to act on our emotions, but we do need to pay attention to them. I tell my children who are grown now that your emotions are there for a reason. God put them there. It's kind of like the gauges in your car. And what they do is they kind of let you know when you're out of gas. They kind of let you when you're down. They let you know these things. Do we respond by filling our gas tank? I hope, or we're not going to be able to get where we need to go. And sometimes we need to pay attention because maybe there's something that we need to be doing differently. And maybe it's exactly what Art's going to bring to your mind today that might be the life change that you need. You know, we need to use our imagination. So if I was going to talk about a topic for today, we summarized it by saying that it has to do with using your imagination and also persevering in tough times. So I don't know. Does that relate to anybody out there? I know it does me. And I think that we all will gain something from having Art with us today. So welcome to the show today, Art.
Thank you, Sue. It all begins with our imagination.
It does.
The last time we were together, we discussed the parable, the multiplying of talents, Matthew 25, 14 to 31, mm-hmm. and our responsibility to look within ourselves with the gifts we've been given to go out in the world and multiply those gifts mm-hmm. and in the end, give back more than we receive.
Right.
And it all begins in our imagination, seeing ourselves in the future. Aristotle would take an acorn and he would ask his students, what do you see? And they say, we see an acorn. What are we supposed to see? He challenged them. Do you see the acorn or the acorn can become? The mighty oak tree. When you look at yourself today, every one of us, when you look at yourself today, what do you see? Do you see yourself as you are or as you can become? If we see ourselves as we are, we'll be doing tomorrow what we did yesterday. But if we see ourselves in the future and say, that's where I want to be, then we understand the challenges we've got to confront and how we have them work to our benefit, how we deal with the adversity along the way and capitalize on it, how we deal with rejection and react courageously and also caring at the same time, how we deal with stress and how it works to our benefit by using it in activities that are positive for us. And so it all begins in the imagination. In fact, allow me to share a story. You're an entrepreneur, and that's always challenging. The world changes. You have competition. Let me share with you, this goes back a ways, but it's still, you know, it's a historic but still true today, and that's Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the true story of Colonel Sanders. The 1930s, he starts his own business. Now, admittedly, it was only a gas station, but to start your own business in the Depression takes courage. That word again. And so he built the restaurant, and behind the gas station, he decided to build a restaurant so the truck drivers coming by when they stopped at the gas station could also be fed at the same time. 1955, worth $150,000. A nice position to be in for retirement. When just before he could sell the place and retire, the state built a major road 7 miles away. And before he knew it, no one's driving by his place. He was bankrupt. Now, what did he see in himself at 65 years old? A bankrupt old man or a man starting a new career? He took a recipe he used in his restaurant over the years and traveled the country, cooking chicken in the back of his car and using this recipe and trying to convince restaurant people to try his chicken and give him on a handshake an override of what they sold an extra chicken because of his recipe. Now, I want you to imagine that you're in the restaurant business. It's a very busy time of the day. When this old guy walks in, a white-haired guy with a white suit, a white beard, and a cane. And he walks up to you and says, "Sue, come over here. I have this chicken I just cooked in the back of my car." You can see this now. "I'd like you to come out and taste a leg or a thigh and agree with me that because of my 11 herbs and spices, it's worth a percentage of what you sell in chicken just on a handshake." Now you look out the window. Here's this dirty old car that's traveled hundreds of miles in the last few days. How turned on are you to give this guy's chicken a chance?
Not too much.
Not too much. No. So because 3 years later, at 68 years old, Colonel Sanders had two restaurants supplementing his Social Security benefits. But 7 years later, at 75 years old, when he went public, you know, stock market, he became worth multimillion dollars. Because at 65 years old, he didn't see himself a bankrupt old man. He saw himself out in the future, and he said, "I deserve that. I deserve to get back to my financial independence." Every one of us need to understand that God gives us all these gifts and that we are worthy of success. We deserve more than just business success, but our own personal success and the relationships we develop.
You know, as a mother, I always tell my children all the time that God created you for a specific purpose, and you and I'm looking forward to living out and seeing what God has done and what his purpose is for each and every one of my children. But even in ministry with my company, with my employees, the same thing applies, is that, you know, if we help others get where they need to go, then it helps us get where we need to go. And to understand what our gifts are and what our purpose is really, really a wonderful thing. Another thing I thought about was the company Amway that talks so much about dream. And I know people have negative feelings about Amway, but really they were onto something, and it's the dream, because the dream keeps you going. It's like that picture on the refrigerator when you're trying to lose weight and you have that picture that's in your mind.
Yes.
Our mind is a very powerful, powerful tool that God has given us and that we have to use it. You know, they say to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by reading the word and having that strength in you. You know, all of that is part of it, is understanding that that dream or that purpose, it keeps you going in the tough times.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But you talk about dreams. Don Quixote, what a great line. You know, Don Quixote, when he said, "If only dreams and reality were the same." But dreams and reality are the same. Think about imagination. Think about Jules Verne in the 1860s in Paris, writing these books that would never happen. You know, 80 days around the world in a balloon, 20,000 leagues under the sea, to the earth. From the earth to the moon. Now, that was all imagination. No one, everyone knew it was never going to happen. And yet, there it was, 1903, December 17th, the Wright brothers. They used rope to tie wooden cloth together. And that first plane, like a little butterfly, just fluttered for 12 seconds, 120 feet. And dreams became reality. 1969, a rocket, 17 times heavier than the Statue of Liberty. 30 feet taller than the Statue of Liberty, suddenly, thunderously, 25,000 miles an hour, 7,000 miles a minute, 400 miles a second, and then landed on the moon. So from Jules Verne of science fiction to 100 years later, dreams become reality. But how do we convert dreams into reality? How do we convert our imagination into the success that we're after to fulfill our responsibility to multiply those talents? And that's what we talked about last time, that no matter what happens, we capitalize on it. Mm-hmm. That adversity is a gift. What are the gifts? Rejection is telling us where change might occur. Think about rejection and how it can help us convert dreams into reality. There's two kinds of rejection. One kind is valid, and one kind is invalid. Mm-hmm. Invalid rejection is when someone's taking their frustrations out on you. They're dumping on you. Mm-hmm. They can't dump it on their boss or get fired. They can't take their frustrations out on their customers. They may take it on their family when they come home. Mm-hmm. And that's invalid rejection. Maybe we should be sympathetic when someone's being nasty to us, when it's not us they're being upset with. It's just they're using us to get rid of you. And be empathetic to some degree. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you saying this to me? What's happiness causing you to be so upset? And we stay sympathetic or empathetic with them mm-hmm. when they're angry with us.
Right.
And then there's valid rejection. We did mess up. We said something wrong. We antagonized someone. They're telling us that we hurt their feelings, or we went the wrong direction. We used the wrong words. And we need to hear that in order to then therefore make changes in the course of our direction so we stay on target.
And hopefully we say we're sorry and we learn from it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we decide love is never having to say you're sorry and tell them I love you. Therefore, I hope that you'll forgive me. And so we have our options that way, way philosophically we want to go.
Right.
In fact, you know, if I could share one more with you. I discussed Colonel Sanders a moment ago on imagination. How about Grandma Moses? Living in New England, 76 years old. Her husband had passed away. Her children had moved on, and her hands became arthritic. And the love of her life, her passion, her purpose was needlework. And with arthritic fingers, she couldn't use the needles anymore. So she tried something new. She picked up a paintbrush. And 25 years later, at 101 years old, a famous international artist. And so converting dreams into reality. We're never too old to be young and continue to grow.
That really brings hope to some people that feel like maybe their life is done and they've already, you know, done what they can do. And what can I do at this age?
That's right.
And you're never, you know, as long as there's breath, there's hope, I say.
That's right. Yeah. Colonel Sanders, 68 and bankrupt, 65.
Yeah, that's a really good story.
Grandma
I really like
Moses,
that.
76.
You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're tuning in and this is new to you, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, if there's someone you know that could benefit or could be helped by what you're hearing today, please share this station. Please share this show. It's Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, oneword.com. And when you do that, there are all kinds of things that you can get from there. There's videos. There are podcasts, over 4 years of podcasts. There's all kinds of things you can get. The I am verses, that is what God says you are, not what people say you are. And I'd much rather listen to God than those people around us, even though we have loved ones and whatnot. So help yourself to all of that. It's all available to you. Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, oneword.com. I welcome you to go there and connect with me, please. I will email you right back. Also, just to mention about the book that I wrote, Learning to Breathe, I'd really like to have you be able to read this book. It's very helpful. Anyone that has asthma, anyone that has respiratory issues, this is such a helpful book. There is so much valid information in there that could help you in these times of not being able to breathe or knowing somebody that you love that really has trouble breathing. So help yourself to that. It's there also on the Sue Freeze site. So thank you so much for that. So we're talking about imagination and dreaming and understanding God's purpose for our lives. And, you know, I personally believe that God has put something in our minds, a thought, a process. And I think a lot of the times people just shove it down. They don't believe it's really there, or they're thinking, there's no way. There's no way I could do that. And those are the dreams or the beliefs or the imagination that I believe that God wants us to pursue, because you're going to have to say it's too big for you. It's got to be God, because it's too big for you. And he wants you to pursue it. And he's given you the gifts and the talents to be able to make it happen. But you got to get out of yourself and trust God and move forward to that. And I see so many people that stifle themselves and they're crippled just because of their fear of failure or their fear of something. Mm-hmm. And they don't go after it.
Yes.
Yes. And it's sad.
So we come back to our theme today.
Yes. Imagination and
persevere. That's right.
Yeah.
And so we can imagine our success in the future, but how do we persevere?
How do we?
And so here's my line for this evening.
Okay. I can hardly wait.
What we lack in desire, we must make up for in discipline.
Okay.
Let me rephrase
like that.
Who we are got us to where we are, but who we need to be will get us the rest of the way.
Like that too.
That's right. So I'm going to talk about for a moment the techniques we can use to discipline ourselves, to get us the rest of the way.
Okay.
So we lose it because it's like we are a two-person relay within us. There's a child within us who wants to grow, who's imaginative, curious, excited about life, adventurous, goes out there and takes great chances. But what happens when you get beaten up? The failure, the rejection, the stress. And suddenly you want to hide someplace and the desire has been burnt off. Mm. Like a two-person relay, you've got to pass the baton from that child who suddenly got exhausted to the father or the mother within you who's going to carry the rest of the way through discipline. That Marine drill sergeant, that coach, that pastor, someone who's going to guide you to be a leader and carry the rest of the way. So I'm going to ask everyone for a moment, what techniques can we use to discipline ourselves so we carry ourselves the rest of the way? Because there's three words I want everyone to hold on to. The first word is change. And we all need a change because the world's changing around us. And if you don't change with it, we can sometimes get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. The world's passing us by. Though I do find a lot of people have difficulty with the word change. It's a little scary,
yes,
threatening.
That's
so I want to make it easy on everyone and maybe drop the word change and use the word adjustments.
Oh, I like that. I like that. See, I have employees that really are they do not like change at all.
No, but adjustment.
But an adjustment.
Isn't that easy?
Let's just make a minor adjustment.
Yes.
Yes. I like that.
Yes. By the way, let me share
with
you.
That's really good.
One of my favorite cartoons is the Garfield cartoon. So let me just share with you. This one goes back a couple of years. Three captions. The first, I hate change. I didn't used to, but I've changed. I think that's cute. Because you know, we think for all of us, how hard we work to change when we're going through school, to learn, to succeed. Mm-hmm. But once you finally make it to some degree in life, you kind of get exhausted and say, I'm okay now. I can be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And we stop growing. We stop changing. And so we need to get back to be the child inside us.
Right.
And to me, changing or adjustments is really, as threatening as the word change can be, is really a byproduct of a more core, critical word we discussed a moment ago, and that's discipline.
Mm-hmm.
If you're disciplined, you automatically change. But where does discipline come from? A very simple word, and to me, this is the core of everything on this conversation right now about perseverance, and that's consistency. If you can be consistent at something in your life, whether it's reading the scriptures each day of a few pages, or doing a certain number of sit-ups, or being there for certain people in your life, or if you're, let's say, in sales, making a certain number of contacts each day, whatever it is, if you can be consistent, then you're automatically disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're disciplined, you can automatically change and make the adjustments in life. So let me share with you just one idea among many on how we can discipline ourselves. And it goes back to a comment you made a few minutes ago, and that's we're there for other people. Being of service, helping somebody else out. I call it leadership, spiritual leadership, is that when you often have good intentions and you've already succeeded to some degree. Maybe you lost weight, but you put a few pounds back on, or you once were in great shape on working out on a certain sport you enjoyed, then you kind of got out of it a little bit, and you want to get back to it again.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard to re-engage. So when you're helping somebody else out, look at the benefits that you gain personally. First, you hear yourself say it. You're hearing your own intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, what if the person follows through on your advice and you're not doing it yourself? It's a little bit of
That's
a kick
true.
In the, you know, get yourself going
yeah,
that way.
For sure.
And third of all, it's good for our self-image to help other people. So that's one suggestion I have this evening. A technique for discipline, leadership, being there for the people, giving service, hearing yourself say it out loud, and renewing your own intentions.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
A second one is making commitments. So if we make a promise to someone, I'm going to do this, it kind of locks us in sometimes. We've obligated ourselves. And that fear of rejection that we sometimes cause us to back off, when you promise someone you're going to hang in there and succeed, and then you have a day where you don't want to persevere, the fact that you obligated yourself to someone, the thought they might say, oh, you messed up, that fear of rejection is now working to your benefit and pushing you forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second technique that way. How are we doing so far?
We're doing great.
Good.
I just, you know, I'm just taking it all in. I hope the listeners are taking it in too, because it's really good.
Good. So let me, with that thought in mind, give you one other idea.
Okay.
Tonight. And that is, you know, what happens in the effort to fulfill our imagination, to multiply our talents. We're persevering, and sometimes it's just like we're running into a wall sometimes. How do we deal with that? And so I want to talk about the gifts of adversity and just present one.
Okay, so listener, is that you? Is that happening to you right now? Are you the one that's hitting the wall and you just feel like, you know, there's no getting out? So listen, tune in, because this is what you're going to hear next, is how you can get through this. And we all need that one time or another. You know, you can be there to pull somebody up and walk next to your friend, but there's going to come a time when maybe you're the one that needs to be picked up. You're the one that needs help. Don't be too prideful to ask for help. Please don't. Because you know what? You're not allowing somebody else to get the gift and the joy of giving. So allow them to do that for you. Okay? Please. So what's the answer?
Well, there's so many, but let me give you one. And that is, when you're going through difficult times, you know, adversity, disappointment, to realize one gift is that, and I'll give you five choices, that adversity makes us stronger, tougher, more resilient.
I totally agree with that, because we don't know what we're made of.
That's right. It puts scar tissue on our ego. And let me give you one more.
I don't look at it like that. I just think, wow, I had no idea that I'd be able to get through that.
That's
but
right.
It makes you stronger for the next
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
Because you realize, you know what? You got through it.
That's right.
It's okay. And now we know we can get through the next one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tougher, stronger, more resilient. Scar tissue on our ego, it tempers our soul.
Scar tissue on our ego.
Yes.
I like that.
So let me share with you. We talked about our last conversation, you and I, Mother Teresa. Let me come back to Mother Teresa on another topic. When Mother Teresa was 7 years old, living in Albania, her father passed away, a successful businessman. Somehow in his death, the partner got all the money, and they were left destitute. So her mother went to work. She became a wholesaler of fabrics. And there's four words I want to present right now for everyone. She converted adversity into enterprise. So is there anyone that you ever met who once made $1 million, entrepreneurial, succeeded, and then went bankrupt and lost it all, and then came back and made more the next time? Because they had already done it before. They knew how to do it again, mm-hmm. but they did better from what they learned from mm-hmm. what they went through. You know, maybe one more example, if you allow. She was born in the same year as myself, 1940, the 20th of 22 children in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Wait. What?
That's true. 1940.
22 children?
22 children.
Oh, my word.
Yes.
Whew.
And her mother was a maid, her father a railroad porter.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And by 2 years old, she had pneumonia and scarlet fever. By 4, she had polio.
Hmm.
They drove 90 miles to the nearest hospital. Doctors explained polio, nothing can be done for her. Massage her legs, it might make her feel better. A lot of people in that family. They took turns 4 hours a day massaging her legs, and by 6, she could stand.
Hmm.
By 8, a special shoe, by 9, a special brace, and by 11 years old, she's playing basketball with the brace and the shoe. She loved basketball. Then one day, looked out the window, and there she was, playing basketball, 13 years old, barefoot, no brace, no shoe. 1960, Olympics. 1960, Rome Olympics. She won the gold medal in the 100 meters. She won the gold medal in the 400 meters. No American lady at that date had ever won 3 gold medals in the same Olympics, and she had one last chance, the 400-meter relay, and she was running the anchor leg. Now, if you understand the relay, when the baton is brought to you, you must be at peak speed. You must do it between two lines. If you cross a line, you're disqualified. Somehow, in spite of their speed, the baton passing was not what it should have been.
Mm.
When she got the baton, she was in fourth place, only 100 meters to go. But Wilma Rudolph, because of her form, her speed, her grace, referred to as a gazelle, effortlessly caught those women 3rd gold medal. What does adversity do to us? It can make us stronger, more resilient. It tempers our soul. And her closing words, by the way, when her coach spoke to receive an award from Bill Clinton many years ago, a National Sports Hero Award for Wilma Rudolph, mm-hmm. he quoted Wilma, that when Wilma confronted adversity, she would meet it, greet it, and defeat it. And those are his words for her, not mine. So what are our words tonight? When you confront adversity, to meet it, greet it, and defeat it, what are your words?
That's so awesome. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show right after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola Services, for allowing us to be on the show and endorsing us and making this show possible. So we are with Art Martell, and we're talking about a lot of things. I mean, he is just full of energy and full of information, and we were talking about imagination and persevering, because we need to persevere, and sometimes just being committed, well, most of the time, in fact, yes, most of the time, the commitment and having that imagination and that dream and even your ministry, having that purpose, keeps you focused on what it is we need to accomplish. I ask people frequently, what is success to you? Because people have different definitions of what success is.
Sure.
And, you know, I personally don't think that they need to be separate, happiness and success. What would you say to people about happiness and success?
You know, we're both, I mean, everyone's thinking about both. You know, people want to be successful. And, you know, what does that mean? As you said a moment ago, everyone is a different definition. But if we kind of overview it, you know, success is about money, wealth, affluence, enjoying the material life. Other people's success is about loved ones and family and personal mm-hmm. relationships.
Exactly.
For some people, happiness is about being emotional balance and joyful and enjoying the moment.
Mm-hmm.
However, let me take it one step further with you.
Okay.
Think about people like Judy Garland or Elvis Presley or Marilyn Monroe, who thought that if they gained money and wealth and adulation and applause and everybody loved them, including their own family, they'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
They would feel good about themselves. And what would happen if you strive to achieve a certain goal and when you get there, you find no satisfaction?
Mm-hmm.
That can leave you in an emotional vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And an emotional vacuum can be filled with emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
And what these people turned to, Judy and Marilyn and Elvis, what they turned to deal with that pain, cause a demise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, you know, let's think about even more recently, people like Anna Nicole Smith, Heath Ledger, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson.
So sad.
Yes.
All Such these, talent.
Yes.
Yeah.
All these people with all the wealth, and not just the money and applause, but the love of family who cared for them and hung mm-hmm. in with them. And in the end, it was all lost.
Mm-hmm.
So what is really success and happiness? So let me give you a suggestion, at least from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about to assume other people might agree with me, but to me, and it's so important, I'll give it to you in 5 different terms. It's all the same, like I'm using synonymous terminology. So to me, as wonderful as money, wealth, applause, adulation, loved ones are, what's most critical is our own self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
our self-respect, liking ourselves, accepting ourselves, pride in ourselves. Now, if we were in agreement, I'm not assuming we are, but you know, everybody out there, but if we were in agreement that as wonderful as the money, wealth, and applause and adulation loved ones are, that real happiness is based on self-esteem, then let me take it to a more critical question. What is self-esteem based on?
Mm-hmm.
What if self-esteem was based on winning? What would happen if we were then to
lose?
Mm-hmm. What if our self-respect was based on achievement? What would happen if we were then to
fail?
Yes, mm-hmm. thank you. What if our loving ourselves, accepting ourselves, is based on other people loving and accepting us?
And then we get rejected.
And get rejected
yeah.
instead. What will that do to our self-esteem? It's
right.
going to tarnish it, tear at it, bring it down, bruise
right.
it. It is critical that I'm going to come to 5 words.
Okay.
This is what I believe self-esteem needs to be based on. 5 words. Our own sense of value. When our self-esteem is based on our own sense of value, finding our purpose, looking within ourselves of the gifts that God has given us, mm-hmm. going out in the world and multiplying those gifts, finding our own personal purpose of what those gifts are. Each one of us, not living other people's lives, but finding what God's given us personally of our purpose. And then go out in the world and multiply those talents. And no matter what happens along the way, it's our own sense of value that we gain by fulfilling our spiritual responsibility.
I find that significant, that everyone wants to feel like their life matters, that, yes. you know, that we're going to make a difference in this world, however large, however small. Mm. But when I think about Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston, I can't imagine that they wouldn't think that their music even,
that's right.
you know, changed lives and whatnot, how they would not feel a sense of significance, but it still wasn't enough for them to persevere through it.
In fact, that reminds me of a conversation you and I had earlier when we talked about the question, are you externally or internally driven?
Mm-hmm.
If we're externally driven, our happiness is going to rise and fall on what the stock market does,
right.
or how people treat us.
Right.
And therefore, we're vulnerable to negative feedback and adversity. But if we're internally driven, no matter what happens to us, we're going to capitalize on it and make it work to our benefit.
So what I'm hearing you in summary is that we have this internal purpose, like I've told my children about. God created you with a specific purpose, and we need to make sure that we fulfill that purpose. So, listener, what is your purpose? What has God created for you? Are you using your imagination? Are you staying true to yourself? Are you committed, and what to? Do you believe? What is success to you? Have you defined that clearly for yourself? These are all things that hold you steadfast to whenever circumstances or negative things come your way. You have to have something to hold on to, something to stand firm on, a foundation that's going to, you know, those roots that are deeply planted so that when the wind blows and things happen, you can stand firm in your commitment. Is that you? Do you have some work to do there? You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. What would you tell people, Art, as far as, you know, because this is like discovery, isn't it? There's a discovery that goes on, and listening to you, there's so many little things that pop up in my mind as far as thinking, and I know for the listener too. What kind of advice would you give the people listening, our listener? What advice would you give them if they're not sure about what their purpose is, if they're not connected with their imagination? If, you know, children, I think of little children, and they always ask the question, why? And when you were talking about little children and they lose that thrust of being a little child, it's like children always ask why. But as we get beat down, we start stopping. We don't ask those questions anymore, right? We just get complacent and content, maybe, or not content. But we don't fight the fight. We don't go after it anymore. We lose that courage or that innocence of life and how life has beat us. So what would you say to the listener on how they can, you know, get the best and the most out of life?
You know, you mentioned children a moment ago.
Yeah, why? You always ask why?
And it reminds me of the beautiful book and became a beautiful movie, The Never Ending Story.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch the movie, it's really for children. It's for the child inside of us mm-hmm. as adults. It's a beautiful movie of this beautiful kingdom that's disappearing.
Mm.
And they discover the reason why the kingdom is disappearing is because it's being taken over by one word, nothingness.
Oh.
And nothingness happens when we stop dreaming. When you fill your life with dreams, you fill your life with purpose, a full life of meaning. But when you stop dreaming, you're in danger of nothingness taking over. So when that begins to happen, when you lose your dreams in life, how do you then persevere?
Mm-hmm.
So let me share with you. He was Theodore Roosevelt. And in college, he met Alice. He fell in love with Alice and they married. And he then became the governor, he became a legislator. In fact, at 24 years old, the youngest legislator in the New York State Assembly. And remember, in fact, in one of his notes to his wife, Alice, during the week, he wrote to her, I long to see you this Friday night. And that Friday night, he returned. And that Monday, Alice gave birth to their first child.
Mm.
It's not a happy story.
Mm.
2 days later, on Valentine's Day, at 3:00 in the morning, his mother passed away. 11 hours later, on the same Valentine's Day, in his arms, Alice passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
And a letter he wrote that year, later that year, he said, when she passed away, the light of my life was gone forever. And in his effort to try to restore himself, he was like, you know, he devastated all of his dreams, the loss of his wife, the loss of his mother on Valentine's Day. In his effort to restore himself, not just emotionally, but physically, he went to the Badlands, bought a ranch, and work so hard to try to disengage from all of his unhappiness. And then the years went by, and then he received a note from his sister. Your daughter is now 3 years old. She needs you. It's time to come home. He returned to New York City, ran for mayor, and was defeated, ran for governor, and won. But Theodore Roosevelt was one of these aggressive kind of guys, and he began to irritate people, antagonize them. So the Republican Party wanted to get rid of him. They figured the best way to get him out of New York State was put him into national politics, and they nominated him for the vice presidency. In 1900, in the election of William McKinley, he became vice president. A year later, on September 14th, in the assassination of McKinley, he became president. And then a few years later, 1904, in his own right, elected president. To me, the words that are great from him, many of us know the words. His words, far better it is to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered with failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much, because they live in the great twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat, the great twilight of nothingness. And so for me, from the never-ending story to that great quote from Theodore Roosevelt, we have great dreams, we come into disappointment and discouragement, we feel depressed, we feel ourselves defensive. Look at those words, depressed, defensive, discouraged. When that happens to us, we remember Theodore Roosevelt and what he persevered through. So that's my answer on that part.
I think that's going to be very helpful to many.
Yes.
Very helpful. You know, there's been a lot of information that's been given already, and I read from this book, Jesus Calling, quite often, if not every single show. And so I'm going to read for today, because sometimes what we need to do, our mind is racing and we've got so many things going on, that what the Lord is telling us today, it might be helpful for the next step for your life. Sit quietly in my presence while I bless you. Make your mind like a still pool of water, ready to receive whatever thoughts I drop into it. Rest in my sufficiency as you consider the challenges this day presents. Do not wear yourself out by worrying about whether you can cope with the pressures. Keep looking to me and communicating with me as we walk through this day together. Take time to rest by the wayside, for I am not in a hurry. A leisurely pace accomplishes more than hurried striving. When you rush, you forget who you are and whose you are. Remember that you are royalty in my kingdom. In Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Romans 8:16-17, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Isn't that good? And it
Very
goes
nice.
Right along. Doesn't it go right along with what we're saying?
Yes.
Which it so often, if not always, does.
And the word patience was part of what you just spoke about.
Patience.
And how do we find the balance between persevering patiently?
Mm-hmm.
If we persevere, but without patience, we can get frustrated easily when it doesn't come to us quickly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're patient, but we don't persevere, the world may pass us by.
That's true.
Finding the balance of persevering patiently. And one of the ways to do that comes back to one of our past conversations, you and I, that when you confront rejection, when you confront people being critical or unkind to you or negative feedback, how can that negative feedback work to your benefit? So I want to share just a kind of an illustration to some extent. Think about the modern torpedo today. It goes out into the ocean for a target, and it zigzags. It gets feedback. It has the ability to send out information, and it gets feedback, and it tells us when it's off course, and it makes course corrections. I want you to imagine, and it has those four qualities. It's a goal-seeking mechanism. It sends out signals. It gets that feedback and makes course corrections. Imagine for a moment that you are a torpedo. And we're
mm-hmm.
goal-seeking mechanisms. We send out information, we communicate, make connections, get feedback that's negative sometimes, and we make the adjustments in life. But what happened if for a moment we and our torpedo were the same? And what would happen if our ego is our sensing device?
Mm-hmm.
We pick up feedback and we're sensitive to it. What if our ego is oversensitive? What would happen if a torpedo's sensing device was an ego? And the torpedo took the negative feedback too personally,
mm-hmm.
what would happen to that torpedo?
Right. Right. I get a visual.
That's right.
Yeah.
So imagine a torpedo that takes a negative feedback too personally. What's it going to do?
It's not going to do its job.
That's right.
Not correctly anyway.
No. It's going to go in circles.
Yeah.
Or it's going to go to the bottom and give up. It's
right.
going to get overheated and blow up.
Right.
And so how do we take the negative feedback and have it keep us on target that way? to persevere no matter what happens, to keep our sense of humor no matter what occurs. Mm-hmm. So let me share with you just, you know, keeping our sense of humor. It was many years ago. I'm giving a lecture up in Toronto. It was IBM. I go to Atlanta for my next one. And the lecture was great in Toronto, but everything went badly after that. There was weather problems, flight delays. By the time I got into Atlanta to the hotel, it was well past midnight. I was not happy. I had to turn the television on as I'm unpacking. And there was a Cheers rerun. Remember Cheers, the television program? Uh-huh. So it was a rerun at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I've seen it before, but so I just sat and watched it again. And then 15 minutes later came the commercial break, and I found myself laughing out loud on the last part. And I thought to myself, wasn't I upset a moment ago? I couldn't remember. So,
I couldn't remember.
So how serious can our problems be when a situation comedy can cause us to forget our problems so quickly? Mm-hmm. But let me share with you the humor of that episode, if you ever remember Cheers. It was the episode where Dr. Fraser Crane comes into the bar, and he's really upset because his wife Lilith has divorced him. And Woody, the bartender, says, Dr. Crane, you seem really upset. And he says, yes, Woody, my life has left me. And Woody says, oh, you mean your wife has left you? And Dr. Crane says, oh, yes, Woody, a Freudian slip. And Woody asks, what's a Freudian slip? And Cliff, the postman, says, that's when you say one thing, but you mean your mother. Now, I had heard it before. I found myself laughing out loud again. How serious can our problems be? Mm-hmm. When something which doesn't exist, a situation comedy, can cause us to figure out our problems so quickly. Mm-hmm. So I'm suggesting to everyone as we're listening this evening that we have so much energy, and you spoke about that a moment ago. And for us to go out in the world and imagine all the possibilities, try everything, is like being a strobe light. Our energy, our light, flashing on and off in different directions. It's mm-hmm. kind of fun to watch,
right?
But it doesn't accomplish anything.
Right.
We have to be a strobe light. We have to try everything imaginable, flashing on and off in different. But to succeed in life requires making a transition from being a strobe light to a laser beam. Mm-hmm. And a laser beam is what we're after.
Right.
A laser beam is energy. And it's got three qualities that convert it from being a strobe light that's cute to watch, but it sees nothing, to a laser beam that can have, and here's two qualities of a laser beam I want you to hold on to for everyone: power and precision. A laser beam has great power, but also precision. Think of everybody we know in our lives. How many people we know with great power, but they lack precision? They're like shotguns. They're just blasting all over the place. And other people have great precision, but don't really try that hard. Mm-hmm. They touch the target, but never score. We need both at the same time. And that's what a laser beam is. And the reason why it has that power and precision is for three items I want to mention. First, it has great energy. And where does the energy come from? Is our expectations. The demand that we place on ourselves to excel, to multiply the gifts that God has given us, to have that demand to excel. And then with that energy, second of all, to be concentrated. Because some people have their energy diluted. And then finally, to focus the energy. Great energy that is intense energy from high expectations, then it's concentrated, and then it's focused like a laser beam. And that's the challenge I'm going to take, everybody take on that challenge.
You know, I've had people say, you know, we really shouldn't have expectations. What are your thoughts on that?
We need a great expectations. We
I
need
think
demand
so too.
Of ourselves to excel.
Yeah.
But we need balance.
Right.
And that comes from kindness to ourselves. So I'm going to suggest answering your question, to excel, to demand to succeed, to expect great things of ourselves, to fulfill our responsibility. But no matter what happens along the way, to be kind to ourselves.
Give ourselves grace.
That's right.
I love that word, grace.
Yes.
That's such a great word. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we are talking to Art Martell. And he, I think you can tell, he's just got so much information that we probably could talk for three more hours, Art.
Yes.
But we're not going to.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, too.
Yes.
I really am.
But I can come back in the
yes,
future.
Yes, absolutely. I hope you do, for sure. Yes. So we've talked about so many things. We've talked about imagination. We've talked about creativity. We've talked about being still and you know, just experiencing God's presence in our lives. We've also talked about persevering. And I know about persevering. I do know about that. And, you know, I have a dream that hasn't happened yet, but I believe it will. And I also have talked to the listeners about, you know, the accident I had where I couldn't walk and now I'm walking. And I just went and saw my surgeon just the other day. In fact, yesterday, I went and saw him. And he had told me at the time of surgery, which was 3 years ago now, I can't believe 3 years has passed, but he told me that in 5 years I would need a artificial knee. And I went and saw him yesterday because I was there with my son. My son just had shoulder surgery. And I just wanted to tell him thank you for his mighty work because he did great work. It's amazing what I'm being able to do now. And he looked at my leg and he moved my leg around. He goes, come see me in about 10 years. And all I can say about that is when you are injured, when you have an injury such as mine, where I'm very athletic, I'm very go-getter, and to not be able to walk and to have to learn how to walk all over again, the word perseverance couldn't be, you know, stronger. And what kept me going was, in my mind, I kept saying, I'm getting better every day. And people say, how's your leg doing? It's getting better every day. I believe we have to talk to ourselves. There has to be this words, these words that we speak. And we have negative voices going on. We have that negative speech that we can keep listening to and we can keep saying to ourselves. You know, I hear people say, oh, that was the stupidest thing I've ever done, or I am so stupid. You know, and I tell people, don't say that, because no, you're not. You know, you are created in God's image and you are not stupid. So we are what we think and what we talk and what we say, and our mind hears our words. So I'm going to ask you to please check yourself. And if you are saying any of those types of words, stop it. Just stop it. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So the words are, what are we giving ourselves? What are we saying to ourselves?
What are we?
Yes. Let me share with you maybe a closing story this
okay.
evening.
I like your stories.
Yes.
Way.
I was giving a lecture in San Jose a number of years ago, and a man walked up to me before the program. He said, my name is Steve. I never heard you speak. But 30 years ago, in 1978, I told my boss, I'm a stockbroker, I told my boss, I'm out of here. I can't pick up the phone. It's just weighs too heavy in my hands. I don't know why I'm so depressed. Tomorrow I'm coming in to clean up my desk. And he said to Steve, when you go home tonight, take this book with you. And he gave me a copy, gave Steve a copy of my book that was published way back in 1973, a long time ago. And so Steve went home and read the book. He told me it was helping him, but he was still going to quit the next morning when he came across the story of Babe Ruth. Now, the Babe was famous for having hit, in total, 714 home runs, but he also had 1,330 strikeouts. And so people, and one thought right now, people are remembered not for how few times they fail, but for how often they succeed. Is there anyone in your life who you know who works very hard to make sure they don't fail? And, you know, they hardly ever do, but then it was a success. But Steve told me the reason why, what really got to him was the next part of the story. When the Babe swung, he swung so hard that when he missed, he'd often fall down. Can you see him? In your mind's eye, this huge man taking this huge swing, crashing to the ground, pulling himself out of the dirt, heading back to the dugout. On occasion, on visiting stadiums, in that moment, thousands would stand and start booing him. In that moment, covered with dirt, messed up, looking bad, struck out, being booed by thousands, in that moment, what would he do? He would tip his cap to the fans. And when he had a home run, he would tip his cap to the fans. And the question I asked Steve in my book he read that night is, how many times can you strike out before you develop a new client? How much rejection can you go through before you hit a home run? There are five words. That's what you were discussing a moment ago. What do we talk to ourselves? What are the words we give ourselves? And for five words I want to present right now in closing, someone out there needs me. When it comes to business and you're developing a business, looking for new clients, you're going through so much rejection, keep telling yourself, someone out there needs me. And it's true. You may have to go through 20, 30, 50 no's in a row, 100 to find a new client. If you're lonely in life and you're looking for someone to connect with, how many people do you have to engage with, to meet, to talk to, in social gatherings or whatever, to find someone who's just right for you? Someone out there needs me.
I tell my salespeople that for every no, it brings you that much closer to a yes. And it's so true.
It is.
You know, it's a numbers game.
That's
and,
right.
And there is somebody that needs us.
Someone out there needs me.
Yes. And so we have to fill the need.
Yes.
And be a blessing. And look for the opportunities. And God will reveal those to us as we, you know, walk through every day. So I just want to tell you that Art Martell is, who is with me today. He is the author from McGraw-Hill of The Courage to Fail. And his most recent book entitled An Adventure into Your Mind. And you can get these books on Amazon.com or on Kindle. So help yourself to that. And Learning to Breathe, you can get on Sue Freeze, spell like fries, one word, .com. God bless you and be a blessing to someone each and every day. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when Bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.